Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, friends, and welcome to an early edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. I'm your host, Mark Heath. With me, the Hutchman, Hutch Hogan, Andy Warren, and the big porker, El Porco, the big pork thing, the pork blanket, Mike Bacon. And we're back, friends, earlier than planned this week because Town have made a signing, which means I can do this, which is a signing klaxon. It doubles up as the time up, but it's also a signing klaxon. Ipswich Town have made a signing, friends, already this summer. It's very exciting indeed. Fabulous Freddie Ladapo, striker, formerly of Rotherham, proven at League One level, has signed for Ipswich Town. 3-year deal. I'm going to eschew the usual intros this week, Andy, because I'm so excited about Town making a signing. I'm going to come straight to you for your thoughts on this signing. I can't ignore the elephant in the room, of course, in that we've already spoken about Freddie quite a few times on this podcast. And every time we've spoken about him, you said, not at my club, not interested. Doesn't set the pulses racing. Well, now he is at Ipswich Town. How are you feeling about it?
Right, I've come prepared with what I actually said about Freddie Ladapo, because I had a feeling that you might amp it up a bit. I don't remember saying not at my club. What I actually said was, he doesn't set my pulse racing. He has a very good history of League One goals, but I don't know why it just doesn't set my pulse racing. If they were to sign him, it would feel to me they're still looking for another one, maybe the main man. I might be proven horribly, horribly wrong, but it doesn't thrill me. That's what I said.
I cannot believe you transcribed that and written it down.
Well, I felt I needed to because if I'm being completely honest, I had fears that you might have amped it even further than what you actually just did, if I'm being honest. So I came prepared.
You know me well. Let's just kick off, though, with your actual thoughts now he's at the club. Clearly, you've said what you've said. How are you feeling now, though? He's a Town player, first signing of the summer, striker. That's what we wanted. Through the door, Hotchie's first take.
It's one that really interests me. Talking about him off lists, no, it didn't set my pulse racing, but he definitely interests me. Clearly, as we've always said, he's got a good goal record. He's averaged 17 in his last three League One seasons, 51 goals in total, and no Ipswich strikers managed that. Clearly, no one's got close to 17 in a season. So in that sense, it's an upgrade. But Joe Piggott was also an upgrade who hit more than 20 for Wimbledon, and it didn't happen for him. The reason it interests me is I think one way or another, something's going to need to change. I think he will either need to change the way he plays, or Ipswich will need to change the way they play to get the best out of him. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. You have to remember he's come from Rotherham, who have a very, very distinct way of playing football, which couldn't be further away from Ipswich's way of playing football, which maybe means he was shackled a little bit by that style, could show something different under McKenna. But the Town boss knows what he wants, doesn't he, from players. He has set profiles on positions. And I like Kieran McKenna's football. I like Kieran McKenna's approach. So anyone that he's picked out that he thinks is going to do the business in that system is good for me. But my real thought is maybe it's a good thing not to have your pulse set racing by new signings. We've been there before, haven't we, with players that, if we're being completely honest, we watch Ipswich Town every single week, every minute of every Ipswich Town game. That's what we watch. We don't know these players intricately. And we've maybe got a bit overexcited by players who have come with certain skill sets, highlight reels, reputations. People have said things about them. But I'm just looking forward to seeing how he fits with what McKenna wants to do and kind of make it an own opinion from a blank canvas. I'm trying to do that more with football players. but I hope he's in. I hope he's incredibly successful and sets my pulse racing throughout the season.
It's a tough task to set Andy Hutch Warren's pulse racing unless you're a kit. That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah, that is it. That is it. To be fair, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll come back to where he fits maybe in a little bit, Hutchie. But I want to go to Mike. But before we get to Mike, I want to read out some stats and results. So Freddie Ladapo, Newtown striker, 241 career games, 80 goals. That's roughly one in three, which is a decent strike rate for a striker. Last season, 15 goals in 41 games. Season before that, 9 in 43. Season before that, 17 in 39. And in 2018-19, his big breakthrough season at Plymouth, he scored 19 in 49 games. So a proven record at this level. We asked the KOA Army last night when he signed, said, what is Freddie Ladapo? Is he a great signing, a good signing, a meh signing, or a bad signing? Great signing, 21%. Good signing, 68%. Meh, which, Mike, if you need that translating, is just meh. That's 9%. And bad signing, 2%. That's over 500 votes in that poll. So a decent little sample size. Mike, he's given his first interview at the club. What did he say and what did we learn?
It's the interview itself obviously is very positive. I mean, obviously he's delighted to be a 3-year deal. I think he's 29 years old. It's a good deal for a 29-year-old. 3 years, Ipswich Town. Mm. He was excited. It's a great club. It's a great history. We've got great fans, you know, that sort of thing. I think I've heard that once or twice, but yeah, tick, tick, tick.
New signing bingo. Yep.
Yeah. But to be fair to him, look, I mean, the one thing I did like, he clearly Kieran McKenna has had a bit of an influence on this. He's obviously spoken to McKenna before, you know, in recent months. This has not just suddenly come out of the blue. And he was very quick to praise. He liked Kieran McKenna's, the way he wants to play his football, the way he talked to him about family, saying he liked Kieran's, you know, thoughts on family and stuff. And so obviously had a bit of a personal chat with Kieran, not just all football. And that clearly, you know, impressed him or not. I mean, you know, yeah, the deal's a deal, and over 3 years, that's a good deal for him. But, you know, Ipswich Town does have a good history, has got a good family background, it's a feel good place. And I think McKenna brings that even more to new signings, who players he wants. And that was clearly part of how Ladapo, you know, Freddie felt. I'm going to call him Freddie. I'm not going to call him Ladapo. I mean, Ladapo's too. I'm Freddie is his name. I'm going to call him Fast Freddie as well from the off. Anyway, so Freddie. He was obviously delighted. He'd had a long day. Apparently, he had been there since 9. I mean, can you imagine starting to work at 9? I mean, just
disgraceful. Oh dear.
Extraordinary. He was still there at 5. Incredible. But no, look, he'd had a long day, a lot of medicals, a lot of stuff going on. But he looked delighted to be here. He came over really well. It was nice to see him, yeah, nice and smiley and enjoying himself and looking forward to it all. I think he was then told apparently pre-season starts about 2 weeks. I don't think he's had much of a break yet. So he said he'll perhaps nip off for a quick break. But good luck to him. I mean, it's, you know, he looked very positive, and particularly this conversation with McKenna. I think this was quite interesting, you know, because this is Akira McKenna signing. You know, Joe Piggott wasn't Akira McKenna signing, as much as we talk about Joe. You know, Freddie is. So this is McKenna. You know, he's McKenna's baby, really, and it's up to him to sort of make it work, isn't it? So, but his interview was good.
Mm. Obviously, the big question is what we call him. I mean, you've gone with Fast Freddie. There's clearly Fabulous Freddie. His nickname's obviously going to be Lad in terms of footballers, because that's what they do. They add an S or a Y to a surname, don't they? So he's going to be Lads. But other than that, Hutchie, the nicknames, which maybe I'm more interested in than anyone else, the big question really is where he fits. Because, as you said before, at Rotherham, he was mostly part of a two, wasn't he, with Smith, McKenna singing their praises earlier in the season. So does this for you see a shift in the way that Town are going to play football indicate that? Or do you think he's going to kind of fit into the lone striker kind of system that we saw last season with K-Mac?
Not necessarily, I don't think. I think Kieran said so many times about how his football isn't about formations and numbers or systems. It's about philosophies and approaches. I don't think there'll be a set idea of exactly what's going to happen every single week. They can play with two up top and one in behind. They can play with two in behind, one up top. I think it'll be I think he'll be flexible. But I am interested to see what happens with Ladapo, because you say he's played in a two. He did at the beginning. He was kind of in a one, but also in a three at the same time. And then playing in a front two was with Michael Smith, who's obviously a proper big boy. There is no proper big boy at Ipswich Town at the moment, in my opinion. I don't think that's what they're going to do. So either way, that's going to have to be something a little bit different for him, which is why it interests me so much.
What's he like as a player? We talked last week about Town wanting to sign dynamic, mobile, athletic players who can move up through the leagues. You've seen him a few times, Hutchie. What is he like as a player? What are his qualities as a player, for those who have maybe not seen him as much?
He's got pace and power, which are two things that McKenna would want in a striker. But for me, he seems to me like, and look, we see him twice a season at best. It's not something that we can judge completely. And I don't want to like completely judge a football player on what I've seen in the past. But like reading what others have said and speaking to other people who have watched him more regularly, they talk about a player who's really good at finding gaps between defenders and punishing gaps between defenders, taking up positions in the penalty area. A bit fox in the boxy at times, capable of scoring other goals too, could play with his back to goal a little bit. But mainly a striker who's good at clever, taking up positions, punishing gaps between defenders and testing people a little bit. Some others will tell you that he's not so involved in a lot of the play. The work rate's not always like right at the top of the list of his attributes. That doesn't mean he can't do it. That might be what Rotherham asked him to do because of how they operate. So, but they're getting a player that's got a skill set that Kieran McKenna likes, and I think that's the most important thing with all of these players that come into the club, that they've got a clear role of what they're going to be.
What I like about him as well, apart from the potential for nicknames and the qualities that he brings, is the fact he's really had to graft for a career, because he's come up through non-league, hasn't he? Was at Colchester. I read last night Carl Marston, formerly of this parish, saying he would never think that one day the Freddie Ladapo that he saw at Colchester would be signing for Ipswich Town. So he's had to graft and work and kind of climb his way up through the leagues to a point where he's been successful and can make moves like this. Move, you know, last night, generally well received, I would say, by Town fans. But Mike, is he the, in big quote marks, the striker that Town need to sign this summer? I.e., is he going to be the main man, the big striker signing that we're all hoping and waiting for?
Well, you see, I'm with Hutchie on this. Part of me, I don't know. And part of me likes to think, no, he's not. I'd like to think there might be somebody else. And with all due respect to Freddie, bigger. Obviously, he's done it at League One, you know. So Joe Piggott, I keep mentioning Piggott, but that, you know, this feels almost like another Joe Piggott signing. Really, was very excited and he's got a great track record in League One and all this, that, and the other, but never really did it last season, unfortunately. Look, we've lost two strikers already, so you're going to have to replace at least, you know, you have to get at least one in, maybe two. He's on a free. I mean, it's a little bit of a no-brainer, really. There's not a lot. You can't really lose much signing Freddie Ladapo for your League One side. He could well be the main man. I'd be surprised if he is. I'd be surprised if it's the last striker Town sign this season. I might be wrong, but I'd be very surprised. But he's a great asset to the squad, isn't he? I mean, he's as Andy said, you know, he's proven at this level. He's come up through ranks. He's proved it at League One. He proved he can score goals at this level. Obviously, Rotherham didn't want to extend his contract or take the option out for another 12 months. Now they've moved in the Championships. Maybe there's a reason for that. You know, whatever. You know, we don't know. But he's proven at this level, so he's great. But the answer to your question, I hope there might be somebody else.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Mike. There's definitely going to be another. There's got to be another striker coming in. I feel sure of that.
What does it mean? Because now you've got Caden, now you've got Freddie under contract. Piggott's still there, Hutchie. Do you think one more and that's it? Or do you feel like Piggott might be on his way out the door?
I think both. I do. I just don't think... We've said it for quite a long time. I'm just not sure for all of Joe Piggott's qualities. I don't think he fits the way that Kieran McKenna wants to play. I think if he did, we'd have seen an awful lot more of him in the second, sort of the final third of the season than we did. How that one comes to a head, I don't know. Might take a while for that to happen. But I would be surprised if he's here once the window closes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just before we move on from the signing, I suppose we should address something else, which was happening last night. A lot of salt from Rotherham fans, pouring scorn on Freddie's character. Obviously, he has to leave the club in January, which is why they didn't take the extension he wanted to leave. Some suggestions that he's maybe not a good locker room guy, Andy, but you've been doing a bit of research. You found some nice quotes to the contrary, perhaps.
Yeah, it's from the first team coach at Rotherham, Matt Hamshaw. It was a really nice sort of rounded view of him as an individual. I think there's a feeling at Rotherham that some of the timings of some of the decisions he made weren't particularly helpful both for him and for the club. But everybody speaks really quite well of him as a person, as a good guy, someone who likes to better himself and who, once that transfer request went in and he stayed at the club post the window closing, trained really hard, came in, did his work, got back in the team, played at Wembley for Rotherham after that. So we've seen that with Tyreek Backinson. He arrived here after a tongue lashing from Nigel Pearson. And if you ask anybody at Ipswich, like from the players, the management, the club staff, they'll talk to you about a really likable, hardworking, professional guy. So that's the kind of his exit from Rotherham doesn't bother me in the slightest. I think you could see from the 4-minute interview you were talking about, Mike, there's a likable person in there, isn't there? And all about how he does at Ipswich now, that's in the past. He's scored a lot of goals for Rotherham in some big moments for them. So I think that's how a lot of the staff and players there will remember him, rather than kind of how it ended.
Okay. Signing number one in the summer, done. Not even June. Freddie Ladapo, striker, proven record in League One, already in the building. Fantastic. Friends, last week we were going to talk about players who might leave this summer, which seems quite an apt way to move on. We've already mentioned Joe Piggott there, so we probably don't need to go over the pig again. But I wrote a piece last week, 7 players who might leave town this summer. Got the people going, did a video on it as well. Lots of people watched it. Lots of people had things to say. So I thought it's worth talking about again now. And the elephant in the room, which I threw into that, basically to capture the attention. And also because, you know, we have to talk about it. Sam Morsey, the skipper. Andy, you wrote a piece predating that piece that I did about why town had to keep Sam Morsey. And when I say players who might leave, clearly this is a worst case scenario. Under no circumstances do we want, or the club want, Sam Morsey to leave, but it will be inevitable given how good of a player he is and his proven record at the championship level, that there's going to be interest, you would think, from above this summer. Wigan obviously already been linked. So by way of kicking this off, Andy, I'm going to come to you first. Sam Morsey, players who could leave. There's really only one way that will happen, isn't there? I guess a bonkers offer, millions and millions and millions of pounds from someone above. Or if Morsey himself decides, actually, I don't fancy another year in League One. I'm 30, I'm in my prime, I want to be in the Championship at least. But all the signs so far are very much that Morsey's bought in to the Ipswich Town project, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's pretty clear that coming down to League One and coming to Ipswich in the manner that he did after some years in the Championship wasn't something that was on kind of Sam's agenda a year ago. This time last year, he wasn't dreaming of a move to League One. Absolutely not. It maybe took a little while to get ahead around that. But in terms of playing for Kieran McKenna, I think it's pretty clear that he enjoys the football, shown that on the pitch. There's every suggestion that there's a good relationship between the two of them, enjoys the club. Who wouldn't enjoy playing for a club that's getting 26,000 people to dead rubber games on the final day of the season? What's not to like about that? And he's going to be linked with other clubs though, because he's a solid Championship performer over a number of years. Wigan, the public one, but there's I'm sure there's plenty of clubs that have looked in, five or six, I think I would say, from I gather. So of course they're going to be looking at him, but looking at him and kind of making that move happen are very, very different things.
Hmm. Right. So I'll read out the list that I've got and we can maybe have a little bit of a general roundtable discussion, Mike, coming to you next. So Morsey, Pigott, Hladky is an obvious one. Clearly already been linked with Aberdeen, very much the backup keeper here. I've got Tyree Simpson, striker, want away. Peterborough already linked. And then the likes of Armando Dobra, Rakeem Harper. Clearly it's not really worked out yet for Rakeem. And Idris Elmazouni, all in that mix. So of those names, Mike, where do you want to start and what do you think of that?
What your list?
My list, players who might leave. Any you want to throw into the mix? Let's have a chat.
That's I've listened to the list. Thank you. Great list, Heathy. Very, don't mind saying
thank you.
Yeah, great list. I would suggest if I was Rakeem Harper, I'd pretty well probably want to be making some sort of move somewhere, unless he suddenly thinks he's going to get a chance with McKenna. I would think he's the sort of player for a young player who would probably want to, you know, he's getting the stage where he's going to want to start establishing himself somewhere, and Crew Alexander wasn't the place. Dobra's interesting, isn't he? You know, he sort of came back. He came back for the under-23s for a couple of games. I don't quite know what's going on there. I mean, is he a player that you might want to keep and have a look at? I don't see why she'd want. I mean, see, look, players want to go. Of course, it is. All players want to play first-team football, and they want to play as high as they can, and all this, that, and the other. But it's not as easy as that. It's all about their contracts and how much someone's prepared to pay. Dobra went to Colchester because he wanted to play first-team football. Might have been a lead down, but it's because he wanted to play in the first team. Didn't really happen. Hmm. So you know, he came back to Ipswich. Is he going to suddenly start in the Ipswich first team? I don't know. It's a difficult one for a young player like him. Very difficult. He doesn't quite know what to do. Don't know, stick or twist, really. Does he stick at Ipswich and hope he gets a chance, or, you know, take a chance like he did at Colchester? It doesn't come off. Harper's the one I think is the one I would suggest we'll probably definitely move on. We've mentioned Pigott enough times. Pigott's a strange one, though, isn't he? I mean, what's he got, another 2 years to go on his deal and stuff? I think, you know, it's going to cost someone to get. He's not just going to walk. I mean, he's, you know, he's not going to tear up his contract and say, I'm leaving, is he? Someone's got to prepare to pay for him. His stats last year weren't that great. So, yes, I dare say he wants to leave, but will he leave? Idrizumi, I think he'll stay because I think he started to make some strides last season at this football club in one or two games. If I was him, I'd want to stay. But I'm starting to cover every one of the players you've said now. Have I ruined the whole feature? I probably have. But I mean, I'm sorry, but there you go. There's I probably missed one or two out.
I like the creation of the name Idrizumi. I think you called him. Yeah.
Elmazouni. Elmazouni. I must admit, Elmazouni is a player I actually very much like, and I hope he doesn't go anywhere. To be honest, I think. How old's he, Andy? What he must be? 21. 20.
21. I think. Yeah.
Seems like he's been around forever, doesn't it?
It does. But he's a player. He's a player I'd like to see Ipswich Town developing and setting that midfield. He's big and he's grown. He's got bigger and stronger.
He's not going to play, though, is he, Mike? That's the problem. Well, where's he get? He's got too many people in front of him. Obviously, Morsey and Evans are going to be the starters, you'd think. So where's he fit in? And with Harper, I know what you mean about Harper, but for me, I think of all the players that are on the kind of fringe, he's the one I'm most excited about McKenna potentially working with, given his pedigree, his history. Clearly a good player. So I'd really like to see McKenna get his claws into him, so to speak, and coach him up. And Pigott, I think there has to be some sort of value in him, don't you, Hutchie? In terms of, yes, he didn't have a very good year last year, but he didn't really play a lot. But he is proven at this level in worse teams, as it were. So you'd think there might be interest out there. Someone might be wanting to take a chance on him, bringing a proven scorer.
I'm sure there'll be interest. Yeah. But he's an Ipswich Town player now. He's not you're not signing him from Wimbledon now. So the finance involved in signing him from Wimbledon and signing him from Ipswich is very, very, very different. So there's just more factors at play. The interest won't be a problem, I would imagine, but that interest being converted into a deal might be that little bit more difficult. I still think it will happen because I'm convinced they'll sign one more striker on top of the two in Ladapo and Jackson. And I don't think they need to have a fourth. of Joe Piggott's caliber, let's say. He's better than a fourth choice striker at Ipswich. So,
yeah. Are there any? One of the things I got from that was people saying Matt Penny should have been on this list. Clearly, very much you'd imagine a backup. How do you feel about Penny, Hutchie, in terms of his future at the club?
I would describe Matt Penny as a perfectly serviceable backup left wing back. Hmm. So, if you get rid of him, you're going to have to then go and replace him. So I actually quite like Matt Penny in many ways. I don't think we saw the best of him anywhere near enough on a consistent basis. But I think if you try to move him on, you're just going to have to go out and replace him on top of bringing in a left-sider ahead of him. So I think you're creating unnecessary work for yourself there.
Yeah. Are there any others you would add into the mix, either of you, in terms of players who might leave, could leave, should leave?
No, not really. No, I think the thing is, you need a squad. You need a squad to get out of these of League One or League or any league. Doesn't matter. You need a squad of players, as Hutchie just said about Penny. You know, you can talk about getting rid of Penny. You can sort of get rid of him or get, you know, but you just got to replace them. You don't go down for a squad of about 16 players. You want to have a squad of 20, 22 players. And even if some of them, you know, will want to play first team football themselves. Obviously, of course, some are going to move on. But, you know, like Piggott may move on. But as Hutchie said, you know, he's an Ipswich Town player. And there's a lot more factors in that than just someone come and said, we'll have him. Mm. Well, you're going to have to pay for him then. You know, not going to let him go.
Anything to add, Hutchie, before we move on?
No, I think we've talked about a lot of those, haven't we? We've talked about Tyrese Simpson to death, I think. I hope that gets sorted the right way for everybody. Kladke's an interesting one. I think he will probably move on, and then you do have to go and replace him, obviously. Harper, I want to know what Kieran McKenna thinks Rakeem Harper is. And that's and that'll kind of answer the question as to whether he's where he and El Mazzouni sit. Because I don't think you can carry both of them either. So, because I think they'll add a central midfielder to Evans, Morsi, then you've got a new midfielder, one of the existing, and then Cameron Humphreys around as well. So I think one of those will move on. And with El Mazzouni and Dobra, they've both shown flashes of what they can do, but never fully grasped a place in this team, have they? Either of them. I think Dobra's an interesting one as well. He'll come back, and I imagine he might get looked at in the summer. But again, he's in a position where they're going to be adding players. So that's a difficult position for a young player to be in. If you're in a position where your manager is going out and adding players on top of bringing you into the mix as well, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you have to throw Backinson into that equation in midfield potentially as well. Before we move on there, Hutchie, a small little break for your kit of the week over your shoulder. Red and white stripes. I don't think this video is going to be going out this week, so you'll have to take my word for it. It's red and white stripes. My first thought was Sunderland, but I can't see you having a Sunderland kit. So it's obviously, is it a Spanish kit?
Nope.
Any thoughts, Mike?
What's it, that red and white thing in the background?
That's it,
red and white stripes. Sheffield United.
No, it's a European kit, isn't it, Hutchie?
A European kit. Siemens. That's Swindon.
It's not Swindon.
Close.
What, close geographically or close in the league position?
I think neither.
It's neither of those things.
Who is it, Hutchie? Put us out of our misery.
Olympiakos.
Ah, okay.
Ah,
your kit of the week. Are there any recent arrivals in Hutchie's kit wardrobe?
Yeah. Though I can't tell you because that'll ruin the game for future weeks, won't it?
You're just rotating. How many are you getting in on a kind of weekly basis, delivery wise? Is it one or two a week?
Not quite that many. I reckon I maybe average two a month.
You know, when you buy a kit, Hutchie, sorry, I just punched my microphone, and it comes through the door. You already know what it looks like, I assume, because you bought it. Yep. And it comes through the door, you open it up, little Hutchie's all smiling away, the only time he smiles and gets excited. And then you see it, and do you immediately go, or wow, and then just whack it on the thing and it goes with all the rest? Is it just that initial bit that is that what keeps you going back, that initial high,
yeah,
or low, yeah,
yeah.
What's the one that you what they call them, unboxing, isn't it? That's what they call it. You've unboxed and immediately had the biggest reaction to, in either positive or negative.
I don't know.
Was that because the old Venezia kit?
Yeah.
Widely, I was reading a piece the other day, by the way, saying that they're the coolest club in the world, and their kits are widely seen as classics. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think everything gets overhyped, though. Yeah. They're really nice.
Yeah,
but it's just massively overhyped. They are really nice. The biggest disappointment was that map one, the one with the map on it,
the Brazilian one.
Yeah, whoever did the Photoshop and kind of graphic design for the launch of that did an excellent job. It's it's not
really underwhelming.
Yeah.
Do you want my Morecambe Town shirt?
Yeah. Why have you got a Morecambe?
sounds quite ominous the way.
why have you got a Morecambe shirt?
I got a Morecambe Town shirt when Town played them when they were non-league back in 2002 or one, when they played the FA Cup. Okay. Friend got their Morecambe shirt. Do you want it? Do you want it?
Yeah. don't you need it anymore?
£200.
I'll swap it for an Olympiacos shirt and that 20-year-old Paris Saint-Germain shirt that's on there.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, okay, we'll do that. Yeah. So we'll swap these. So we'll have like, this is like multicolored swap shop from all those years ago. So I'll bring, you can have my Morecambe 2002 home kit and I swapping it for your Olympiacos and that very tatty PSG top behind you, which is old.
It's not tatty. It's in good condition for its age, mate. Trust me on that.
Has it got Mbappe on the back?
He was barely born when that kit
20
was
years old.
Pauleta. Do you remember him? Who? It hasn't got anyone on the back, but do you remember Pauleta, Portuguese striker?
Never heard of him.
This kit screams him.
Is it a large boys kit, actually?
It's a large male. a large adult male kit.
Before we move on from kits, what did you make? Because obviously we have to talk about teams coming up next season. Forest Green's kit. Very eye-catching. What were your thoughts on that, Hutchie?
Love them. My friend Matt used to be the media manager for Forest Green for many years. So I've played close attention to that. They're made of coffee. You know that?
What?
Yes.
They're made of like recycled kind of coffee, I think.
So if you melted it down,
you could drink it. Yeah.
You could drink it.
I don't know how you do that, but Subway, there's been a bamboo one, I think. They've, they put their money where their mouth is, or when it comes to eco down there, they're serious about it. It's not just a gimmick. Mm. It's, they're very serious.
You're looking forward to going there, aren't you, Hutchie?
I am, but I'm a bit annoyed because like, I've been wanting Ipswich to play Forest Green in cups for years and years, so it'd be nice to have seen Matt, my friend. He's left there now, doesn't work there anymore. And then they get promoted. So I'm a bit sad about it.
Typical. Yeah. Just before we move on from this, what I would call a smaller side in the middle of the show, before we talk about Mark Ashton. We've been talking the last couple of weeks. Mike, you won't know about this because you don't listen to anything unless you're on it. But
I'm never invited.
You've got your own spin-off show now. We're going to talk about that as well.
Yes, I have. Yes, and I tell you what, my spin-off show is very popular as well. So you're not invited on it. So there you go.
Aren't I? I hosted the first one. That's the whole reason it's popular.
Yes, you did, didn't you? Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike, we've been talking rather spuriously about ways of deciding games that don't involve playing, mostly around board games. And one of the 5-star reviews we've had on iTunes, of several we've had since last week, thank you very much, comes from Stephen Tolbert, who says, surely Twister would be the best way of settling promotion instead of the playoffs. I feel quite angry we've not thought about this, Andy. I know Twister's not technically a board game, but that would be good TV. He says each manager would be forced to be smothered in some sort of lubricant, such as butter or WD-40, prior to participation. And he says my favourite managers for this would be surely Steve Evans, he who shall not be named, and Lars Lies, who is a massively tall boss at DSK Köln. What a spectacle that would be, limbs and lard entwined to settle the season.
I'm struggling to see a scenario where those two meet in a playoff final. That's yeah. that's my initial thought on that.
But I like the idea of Twister because it's quite a visual, visceral game, isn't it? Is there if Town were forced to compete in a Twister tournament, Hutchie, who would you put out? Who's the most bendy, would you say, of Town's players?
Ooh.
Obviously, you wouldn't want someone like Thomas Holy now.
No.
Moved on. You need someone who's close. Maybe Connor Chaplin, a low center of gravity.
But can he reach from corner to corner?
Good point.
If he needs to do right hand red, and he's already got his left hand on the
you
yellow.
You need a combination, don't you, of length and yeah. low center of gravity.
Maybe someone like Caden Jackson.
Yeah.
He's
wiry, isn't he?
Might do the business. Flexible.
Wolfenden would love it.
He couldn't be bothered though, Mike.
I know he might not be bothered, but he'd love it. He'd be brilliant. He'd be all over it.
He wouldn't. He'd just give up straight away. He'd be like, he'd have one foot on red and it says yellow. And he'd just like, nah, I can't be bothered with this, mate. I'm out of here. See you later. I like Jackson. I obviously got to be careful of the hamstrings with the old stretch there with Caden. Mm. I'm trying to think of other. I reckon Caden's up there.
George Edmondson would be quite good, I think, because he does yoga. He does, you can see him, he does kind of yoga on the pitch before games, does a yoga pose. So I think he must have some flexibility in him. So maybe George Edmondson. Kane Vincent-Young, don't want to put him through that.
Got to be careful there. Older Hladke was actually, going back to the first game of last season, Dartford, where we saw him for the first time, he was doing some really rather painful and quite extravagant looking stretches pre-game. So maybe he'd be a safe pair of hands. If you'll forgive
maybe they
the
keep
joke.
Him. They have to keep him then.
Just in case Twister comes in. Who knows? Right, enough of this nonsense. Let's talk about serious business. Mark Ashton, Hutchie, tomorrow, June the 1st, 2022, is the first anniversary of Mr. Ashton taking over as Town CEO. Me and Mike were there. Mike, if you hark back to those days, speaking to him on that very first day. And you've written a piece for tomorrow's paper and online as well, Hutchie. Your thoughts on how Ashton has performed over the first year. Shall we have a little roundtable chat about Mr. Ashton? You want to kick us off, Andy?
Yeah, I think to talk about Mark Ashton, if we first get out of the way the fact that the team finished 11th in League One and did not achieve what the goal was, I think we all know that didn't happen, and the ultimate aim of the football club was to get out of the championship in year one of the new ownership. So if we get that fact kind of out the way early doors, it's then hard to dispute any negatives, to find any negatives, I would say, from the course of the last year. He's arrived in a position that Ipswich Town were crying out for, just to have somebody in that position. And they've appointed somebody who has got an awful lot done in a year. You look from the outside and you would look at Ipswich Town and you'd probably see a club that stood still on paper. But all of us connected to Ipswich Town, we see club that's taken some big strides forward, a club that's got this new can-do forward attitude, and is in really good health. And it's not all down to him. He'd be the first to tell you it's not the Mark Ashton show, but he does head it all up, and it's really, you can't really grumble about what's happened at the club over the last year, aside from that what's happened on the pitch. But I don't think anybody would be here saying that it's not been a really positive first year for Mark Ashton at the football club.
But Mike, as I say, we were there day one. And we stood talking to him. There's no doubt Mr. Ashton is an extremely impressive individual when you speak to him. Clearly very driven, passionate, articulate, intelligent. And standing there on day one, he was kind of looking around Portman Road, wasn't he? With a sense of awe and being impressed at the kind of history, I guess, of the stadium, but also being very honest about the state of the stadium and saying work was needed and, you know, we have to take pride in our home. So fast forward now 12 months almost to the day. What have been your impressions of Ashton over the past year and his main achievements in your book?
I think he's done well. I think he's done very well. And I think Andy's absolutely right. You're going to be hard pressed to say, well, you haven't done this and he hasn't done that. He came in very passionately with how he feels about Ipswich Town Football Club. He understands the history. He got that straight away. Ipswich Town have lacked a leader, lacked someone talking positive about the club for far too long. And he does it in abundance. The Tyrese Simpson situation is interesting, how he talks about agents and stuff. He's putting Ipswich Town first, second and third. And that is what fans and all of us want to hear. That's what his job is, mind you. But he does it with passion. And I think he's doing a very, very good job. We've got somebody at the top who genuinely gets the club, can see that, quite frankly, 11th place in League One is an absolute, well, it's awful. It's no position for a club of this standing. And he's going to bend over backwards to try and do something about it. And if that means off the pitch, on the pitch, I've got no doubt he's influential in getting Kieran McKenna here. Well, we all know what we've sort of thought of Kieran since he's been here. There's a way he's going about things. It's been a good year for Mark Ashton. He can look back, as Andy said, forget where Town have finished. That he can't play the game as well. I mean, I'm sure he could. He'd love to be on the pitch, but he can't do it as well. You know, Paul Cook thing didn't work, obviously. So we haven't really had a full year of one manager. Next year is going to be so interesting. Off the pitch, with stuff going up around the ground and things, the fan zone looking lively, looking bubbly, players signing stuff beforehand with the fans, all this sort of stuff. It's all, you know, it's all so important to the nucleus of the club. And he gets all that. He's obviously very influential in the signings. He wants to get, he's a doer, isn't he? He's not a talker, he's a doer. And that's great. And I think he'll look back on a decent, very decent first year at Ipswich Town.
I get the feeling sometimes that Ashton would, if he could, he would do everything. When you say he's a doer, he'd be doing everything, wouldn't he? He'd be making the pies, he'd be painting the turnstiles, he'd do pretty much everything. Because I get the impression he's a man with very exacting standards. Actually, the obvious question after what we think about is year one would be year two, and what needs to happen in the next year. Clearly, number one on that list is Town have got to go up. By hook or by crook, Town have got to go up next season. Or do they? Am I being too ambitious there? Do they just need to get themselves in a position where they can go up and it won't be the end of the world if they don't, if they miss out in the playoffs or for whatever reason? Or is it promotion or bust next season, would you say?
I don't think it can be promotion or bust because obviously they need to go up at some point to get this get this club moving properly forward again to where it needs to be. But promotion or bust is kind of, well, what happens if they don't get promotion then? Are you turfing Mark Ashton out? Are you sacking Kieran McKenna regardless of the circumstances? No, you're not, because there's been so much good over this last year. The club is in really good health. It's just got one piece missing. You talk about Mark Ashton potentially like wanting to do everything. I think there's part of him that would like to be able to do everything. But what I have noticed with him is that he has empowered others to do things. And that was something that was missing at Ipswich Town before. Marcus Evans, obviously, as an absent owner, didn't empower people to do their jobs to the best of their ability. There were limitations there. There were things that were slow. That's all gone. He's empowered. He and the ownership have empowered people, but he's not done it by himself. He's done it by giving an enthusiasm to people to go and love their jobs again, and it does show. And that's something that I think needs to carry on into next season. I think next season's going to be really interesting because another thing that he's done is build the structure of the club. Something Paul Lambert spoke about missing, not particularly articulately, but he spoke about it. He's built a structure now. There's a recruitment department with Sam Williams as the head of recruitment. He's brought in a performance team that's now going to have a full season, hopefully, with Kieran McKenna to show. And these are the things that I want to see in League Two, in Year Two. I want to see these things come to fruition. I want to see the impact of the performance team, which is great to have been built. I want to see the impact now of having the head of recruitment in there. There's heads of departments in loads of areas, media, finance. They've appointed somebody to basically manage Portman Road as a venue. And it's time for those sort of things to bear fruit. And maybe for Mark to step back a little bit and not be the public face of every area of the football club. But I'd quite like to see year two include those things really come to the fore. And with some of them, particularly performance team, recruitment team, that can have a real impact on the pitch stuff. So I can't really say that the board, Ashton and the board, could have done anything more to give to their managers over the course of the last year. But then it's up to them to kind of take the next step. But I think they've put everything in place to allow that to happen.
Mike, is it on that topic? Thoughts on year two for Ashton? I'll tell you what I want to see. Will you maybe have a little think about it? I want to see more of this. Yeah! That kind of over-the-top celebration that we saw at Lincoln. I love that. I know this is not going to be to everyone's taste, but I want to see more of that next season, please, Mark. And when Town do inevitably secure promotion, I want to see the full Hulk Hogan ripping of the shirt on the halfway line before a lap of honour, topless. Anyway, enough about me. What do you want to see, Mike?
Well, that's fascinating, Keith, to be honest. Yeah, I'd like to see that as well. But look, yeah, it's got to be massive progress on the pitch this year. There's been great progress off it. And as Hutchie's just gone through a lot of what's going on off the pitch. And you're right, Mark Ashton's he's got a good team. He's getting good people around him now. It's on the pitch now. You know, it's a results-driven business. It is on the pitch. This team has got to, you know, Kieran McKenna, I'm not saying sadly for him, because sadly is the wrong word, but if he's on quite a bit of pressure this year to come up with the goods, it isn't promotional bust. Of course it isn't. You can't go like that. You've got to build things. But I would suggest you've got to be in that top six in and around most of the season. That's where you've got to be. A playoffs are a bit of a lottery anyway. I mean, as we've seen that with all sorts of, you know, playoff games, just that comes with the territory. If you're only going to get the playoffs, you stand a chance of getting knocked out no matter how good a season you've had. So you want to finish top two, of course, just to, yeah. They've got to be in around that top. We just haven't had a season for so long, which has built up to be looking forward to the end of season playoffs, or we're in and around the last half a dozen games where, you know, we've been sort of, we spend most of our time talking about, you know, well, if Plymouth lose at home and Portsmouth lose their next two and we win our next seven and all that sort of, we want to be in control. So it's on the pitch. I don't think Mark Ashton can do a lot more about that, to be honest. I mean, he's set things up nicely. This year for Kieran McKenna and for year two of obviously new owners, it's got to be a minimum of the playoffs. Once you're in those playoffs, who knows? It'd be great to go up top two. And of course, you're going to say, we've got to finish top two. I don't think we've got to finish top two. We'd love to finish top two. Of course we would. But it's got to, I do think it's got to be top six. We can't be more of this messing around, 10th, 11th, this and yeah, that. Not next season, we can't, I don't think.
Yeah, the start's going to be so important, isn't it? The start basically handicapped them last season, didn't it? And they could never recover. And generally speaking, sides who do start well end up going up, don't they? So we will see. Mike, I'm going to stick with you because I've already alluded to your spin-off show. You are so popular that we've now given you your own project, your own vehicle, as they say in broadcasting speak. And it's basically you meeting, chatting with virtually influential people like my friend Hutchie down there about their favourite all-time Town 11s. Kicked off with you. I must stress at this point, because people are still not quite grasping this concept, that it's not the best 11. That would be one show. Everyone knows who Town's best 11 all time is, and it's basically starts and ends with 1981. Clearly, that's not the idea, friends. It's favourite, and it doesn't matter if that favourite team isn't a particularly good team, because it's personal to each person. So, Mike, tell us a bit more about this, who you've been speaking to, who you got coming up, and why you wanted to do it.
Yeah, well, you're right. This proved really quite fun, and I really enjoyed doing it. But I was the mug who went first with my favourite team, which did not include Kevin Beattie, which did not include Arnold Mirren, which did not include, and I was completely pilloried from start to finish. Emails, you idiot! Have you not watched this club for the last? Where have you been? And I did rather have the wrath of fans, you know.
There was one brilliant comment on that video on our YouTube channel, which just said, "This is why you should leave it to the professionals." Yes. No BT, no walk. And it's like, Mike literally is a professional.
Well, so, I wouldn't mind, but I've actually seen them since 1974. So, I mean, it's not as I've not sort of never seen a Town game. I mean, I've seen hundreds and hundreds. So I think I know my favourites. I think I could work out, you know, who's better at, with all due respect, Cole Skews and Franz Tyson. I mean, it's not, but he'll be my favourite. It's a different thing, you know. I might prefer Cole Skews, you know. But there you go. I think I could do that. But yeah, so it's taken us time to, let's say, bed its way in. But we've bedded its way in now. And my friend, Mr. Hutch, there below with the Olympiakos shirt in the background, came out with his extraordinary favourite. It was wonderful. Some wonderful stories from Andy there. It was great. You'll have to listen to it. You'll have to listen to the Mickey Stockwell bottle bank story and Andy Warren. And Neil Thompson, of course, Andy. I keep forgetting about him. He was there as well.
Yeah, he was there. He was there.
So this is a story you must listen to on Andy's. We've done it. I've spoken to Andy. We've got Carl Fuller coming up this week, I believe. Carl's got some great stories. Carl Fuller does the Fuller flavour. He's actually another one. He's got some cracking stories. One player in a nightclub and stuff like that. So there's some good stories in his 11. Today I've spoken to Stephen Foz Foster from BBC Radio Southwark, or was of BBC Radio Southwark, of course, the PA announcer. He's got some. He includes a current Town player who's in the current Town 11 in his 11. I'm speaking October to Rob Chandler from Greatest Hits Radio and formerly of PA announcement at Portman Road as well. I've even asked Phil Ham. I mean, come on, Hammy, where the hell are you? I mean, I've asked you. Well, I don't know what you're doing. You come back to me. You've got to think about it. You've got to think that long, Phil. Come on, just get back to me. And Philly Ham will hopefully do it. And we'll get a couple of Town fans as well, current. So, but it's been fun, I must be honest. And it's interesting that, I mean, of course you get quite a bit from, of the older top players. But, some one or two thrown in there, which is good.
And we've got, obviously, also, you neglected to mention your fellow Kings. We've got Watson, Halls, Heath coming up. I've got some.
Well, I don't know what's yours going to be. I've got to do you. I'll leave you right to the end, I think.
Yeah, that's what the people want. That's the one that will keep people guessing.
You
team
can't just have Drin and it playing everywhere, you know. I mean, you have got to think of other players.
He is on the bench. I have my team. It's an eclectic mix, but there's quite a lot of strong stories behind it. So I'm looking forward to sitting down and doing that with you. Hutchie, obviously, Bacon, we've got him a vehicle for his immense talents. What vehicle can we get you? What can we do for you show-wise? Andy Warren presents, meets, talks about. What would be your ideal vehicle?
I do enough talking, don't I? You don't need. They don't need any more of me. Put me in hibernation for the summer. Then I'll come back with a show about football kits and squad numbers. That'll be what I do.
Squad number. Obviously, when you mention that, what number should Freddie Ladapo be wearing next season, Hutchie?
Well, the ten shirt is vacant, which he's worn a lot. Mm-hmm. He's also worn 19 a lot, which Caden Jackson currently has. So, I think he'll end up with the number 10 shirt.
What if he had? What if he was number 98 or something, Hutchie?
Then he can go and play in Serie A.
Oh yes, I knew that'd get you.
Can you actually, you know this actually, if he wanted to be number 98, could he? Are there rules that say you can have whatever number you want?
Yeah, well, Sam Morsi's wearing 55, isn't he?
Of course. Yeah.
Ipswich's squad numbers were a bit of a mess last season, weren't they? Let's be honest. 55, 43, 44. He could wear it if he wants.
What's the worst number you've ever seen a player wear?
I think when Inter came here in 2001, there were some interesting ones. I think someone had 77, Francesco Coco.
77?
Yeah. Do you remember him, Mike?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Well,
I think I'm going to check that. Yeah. But I think he was number 77.
But 99 is my worst. I mean, so you get some, you see some players have 99 on that. I mean, what is that? It's almost to say, like, I don't want to be here. I can't have 101, so I'm just going to have 99, because I can't have three numbers. So I'm not going to have 100, so I have 99, so I literally want to go.
Ronaldo wore 99 at AC Milan, I think. I was wrong, it wasn't Francesco Coco, it was Okan Buruk. He was a Turkish midfielder, he was number 77 for Inter that night. So, Nicola Ventola as well. He was number 78. Remember him?
These are defensive lineman numbers in American football. Actually.
Not anymore. They're not.
All over the place now. What number would you wear, Andy?
I'm a number 12.
Number 12.
That's my number.
The 12th man. Mike, what would you be? Number one, I'd imagine.
Well, of course I'd be number one, but if I couldn't be number one because I'm not tall enough to be in goal, I'd be number seven.
Seven? Oh, a classic number.
Kevin Keegan, you're thinking of Ronaldo, aren't you? I'm thinking Kevin Keegan.
No, absolutely.
You don't remember him, do you?
Yeah. I'd love to see you with Keegan hair. You did have it back in the day.
I did. I used to have a little pervy frizzy hair. Yeah, I did back in the 80s. That was the in thing. God, well,
we need to find a picture of Bon Jovi, Mike Bacon to share. Yeah, we used to
strut down to the Swan and the Gold Lion on the Cornhill with our white trousers on and our big gold chain, frizzy hair. Those are the days, mate. The 80s. Fantastic.
What a time to be alive. Right then, friends, we're coming up to an hour. We've had some good chat, we've had some serious chat, and we've had some, quite frankly, nonsense chat. Boys, anything else to mention, anything else to chuck in before we take our leave? Obviously, we've got the Queen's Jubilee weekend coming up, so I'm sure we'll be off to street parties and bedecked with bunting, which means that this is why we're doing it early, plus the signing. We won't be back now until next week. Ross is off, so there will be no fan social, but there will be a Mike Bacon meets Favourite 11 with Carl Fuller this Sunday at 6 a.m. So look out for that. Hutch, you got anything to mention?
Ipswich are playing Wimbledon in pre-season. I've got nothing more to say about that.
July the 16th at Plough Lane. And it's also a doubleheader, isn't it, with the women playing afterwards, which is quite nice.
Yep.
A nice touch. And that's the first of many pre-season friendlies to be announced. Mike, anything to discuss other than reminding people to listen to your podcast that comes out on Sunday?
Well, no, Heath, thanks very much. No other business from me, really. It's been thoroughly entertaining, and it's nice to be invited back again. I seem to have been sort of pushed out to the side. A few of my fans have been stopped me in the street, just asking where I've been. I said, well, Heath's not inviting me. I said, keep hashtagging more bacon. I see even one of those 5-star reviews came from someone who called more bacon. I mean, I don't know what you don't see in me, but there you go. That's
too much bacon is bad for you. Your doctor will tell you that. We need to just have just the right amount of bacon. By way of ending this on a high for you, Mike, I put out this morning, Town tweeted that Rene Gilmartin, their goalkeeper's coach, is 35 today, to which I put out a tweet about how I lamented the fact that not only now am I considerably older than all the players, I'm now older than most of the coaches and the manager. Someone replied, aren't you also older than all of the journalists who cover Ipswich Town, including Mike Bacon? So,
well, yes, you are. So, I mean, well, exactly. Looks don't lie, my friend.
There you go. Yeah, I've often said that you are Benjamin Buttoning. You're getting younger as we all get older. So, yeah, I mean, clearly you found the fountain of youth, Mike. So there you go. A high spot on which to end with. Just a reminder, friends, to use the code COE at manscaped.com to support our sponsors and also get 20% off and free delivery from all the stuff they've got on manscaped.com, and follow us across all social medias, Kings of Anglia on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, especially YouTube if we could. And that's it, friends. So have a great Jubilee bank holiday weekend. Whatever you're doing, we will be back next time, hopefully, to discuss more exciting news at Ipswich Town. Have a great one. We'll catch you next time.
From true crime to football, Brexit to football. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon. From Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.